Blog Talk Radio.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together.
Yes, indeed. You are once again in tune to, Are You a Liability or an Asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show on Saturday night. This is Saturday night, June 1st, 2019. And I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. And yes, we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 p.m. until 9 p.m. As usual, and especially for the first-time listeners, I am so proud and excited to announce that God is still blessing this worldwide ministry, and it is still growing. So on tonight, for the first-time listeners and the listeners that faithfully tunes in, please get your Bibles, get your pens, get your paper ready so that you can follow along with the person that's going to be bringing forth the Word of God on tonight. Once again, is none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He always shares with us an inspirational point first, and then he always delivers a powerful word from the Lord. So get your Bibles, your pens, and paper ready so that you can follow along with him as he gets ready to deliver God's word on tonight. We always open up with prayer. Thank God we serve an awesome God who can hear all of our prayers at the same time. I'm asking each listener if you will please pray with me at this time. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, it's in his name, once again, we come to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this another day that you have made. We thank you, Lord, that you are in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like, no matter what we see, no matter what we hear, no matter what we think or what we feel. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are in total control at all times because you never slumber nor sleep. We thank you that all power in heaven and earth is in your hands. So now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, We come asking that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, started with myself and my entire family, every faithful, committed believer and doer of your word on tonight, all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions. Your word lets us know that all have sinned and come short of your glory. So that's why we come giving you glory, honor, and praise for your son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King. It is because of his great sacrifice on the cross, through the shedding of his blood, that we can be redeemed back to you, and we can be forgiven of our sins and transgressions. So we ask you to forgive us once again on tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we come asking that you would touch, heal, and deliver those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies on tonight, those that are suffering with PTSD disorders, those that have suicidal thoughts, and those that are dealing with depression issues. We know that those are all dealing with the mind, but we know that you are a mind regulator. Even today, you're still working miracles, signs, and wonders. You're the same God that changes not, and you have all power in heaven and earth in your hands. So we ask that you to touch, heal, and deliver those that are sick and afflicted all over the land as only you can. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are the chief physician. You are the chief doctor who has never lost a patient. Heavenly Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would comfort and strengthen those that are bereaved on tonight. I thank you for the awesome homegoing service on today that I was blessed to be a part of on today, in the homegoing of our sister in Christ, your daughter, Sister Ruby Eppinger. And so now, Lord, we ask that you would continue to strengthen her husband, Raymond Eppinger, and her daughters, Tanya and Dina, and her grandchildren, and all that loved her, her church family, and all those that loved her. Not only that family, but all those that have breathed on tonight, all over the land, comfort and strengthen as only you can, because I'm a witness. You are the comforter. So let them know that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your spirit as your word get ready to go forth on tonight. It's our prayer and hope and desire that your word will go forth with power on tonight to the saving of souls on tonight. Should there be any listener that is not saving your son, Jesus Christ, it's our prayer and hope and desire that your word will move by its spirit, Heavenly Father, through this radio platform, through your man of God on tonight, that it will touch and prick their hearts, each one, that they will open their own mouth on tonight and ask to be forgiven of their sins and transgressions, and that they would ask Jesus Christ, your son, to come into their hearts and save them. And once they're saved, they will come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill their individual God purpose in earth for your glory, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So now, Lord, we ask that you would help us to decrease on tonight so that you would increase in us. And before we close this prayer, Heavenly Father, we want to continue to lift up our president. We pray, Lord, you would touch his heart, Lord. Not only him, but any world leader, Heavenly Father, that have hidden motives or agendas, we lift them up to you, Lord, that you would touch their hearts, that they would do what's right, that they would come to know you first, that they would come to know your son, Jesus Christ, and be saved in his name. And then they would be able to show love and compassion for all people all over the world, that you would be able to use them for your glory in earth, that their living would not be in vain as well. And we want to continue to lift them up to you now, Lord, that you would touch their hearts as only you can. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. So go forth, Heavenly Father, through your word on tonight, as you use your man of God that's going to deliver your word on tonight. Have your way. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Continue to bless each listener. Grant them the desires of their hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. We just give you glory and honor and praise. And before we pray or close out, Lord, we want to thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. We always try to have a spiritual food for thought. And tonight it says unto us, don't stay down. Someone is counting on you to make it, so they will know they can make it too. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Don't stay down. Someone is counting on you to make it, so they will know they can make it too. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please go to blogtalkradio.com/servants-ambassadors-vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at all lowercase, james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. I would love to hear from you listeners. I would love to hear your feedback and comments. So we're in this together. So if the Lord should touch your heart, then you have feedback that will help make this worldwide ministry grow and be even better than what it is. And I would love to hear from you. And so we're in this thing together. So I just wanted to put that word out. I'm looking forward to hearing from the listeners on tonight. Before I bring forth Deacon Marvin Cox, I have one announcement. For the new listeners, I thank God for what he is doing through this worldwide platform. God has opened new doors for others to host shows up, over this worldwide platform. And so I want to give you all an opportunity, the new listeners, to write this information down, because you can be blessed by this man, these men and this woman of God that have their own shows now up under my website. You can, the first one is Theologically Speaking. Again, Theologically Speaking with Jose and Danielle Dorsey. They are the hosts. Their show airs each and every first and third Thursday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Then we have Clinically Speaking. This is a psychologist, a woman of God. The host's name is Sierra Renee. Her show airs each and every fourth Thursday and every first Saturday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Then we have Ministry I'm Possible with host Minister Sharon Rambis. Minister Rambis is a member of the same church where I am a member of, Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, where our bishop and pastor is none other than Bishop James A. Jennings. So Minister Sharon Rambis is Bishop Jennings' armor bearer. So he has his own show also, and his show is titled Ministry I'm Possible. Once again, with host Minister Sharon Rambis. His show airs each and every second Thursday and every fourth Saturday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Then we have Pastor Eric Morphis. He and I grew up together in the same church when we were little boys. Thank God we got reconnected. So he comes forth over on my show, which starts again from 8 to 9 p.m. He is on every second Thursday night, Pastor Eric Morphis. He is the pastor of Eagle Wings Church, which is located in Warren, Michigan. Then we have Pastor Norman King. He's my first cousin. He is the pastor of Victor's Outreach Ministries, which is located in Greensboro, North Carolina. He comes over on my show, again, from 8 to 9 p.m. He comes on each third and fourth Saturday night. Then finally, we have Deacon Marvin Cox. Oh, Lord. Then we have Deacon Marvin Cox, again, he'll be bringing forth the word of God on tonight. He comes forth on my show each first and second Saturday night, which again from 8 to 9 p.m. So Deacon Marvin Cox will be bringing forth the word again on tonight. And he always shares with us an inspirational poem. I thank God for what he's doing through Deacon Marvin Cox, through his poems, because they are inspirational to everyone that hears them, his poems, and those poems are a blessing to many people. So once again, I pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to receive Deacon Marvin Cox, as you receive him, so that you can follow along with him as he get ready to deliver God's word on tonight. We can ready to go out to our music break. We're going to come back. We're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox so that he can break forth once again the word of God on tonight to us, the listeners. But I do ask the listeners, keep my sisters and brothers in Christ as we celebrated the homegoing service of our sister in Christ, Sister Ruby Eppinger, the husband, Raymond Eppinger, then her daughters, Sister Tanya, and then her daughter, Dina, and her grandchildren, and her church family, the Morning Star Baptist Church, where Pastor Isaiah Timmons Jr. is the pastor, and I am the musician there. So we want to lift up that, keep that family in prayer, and also that church family in your prayers. So right now, we're going to go to our music break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Enjoy the music break.
Oh my Lord. Holy Lamb.
Holy Lamb.
Precious Lamb.
Precious Lamb.
So much I owe.
So much I owe.
To you, O Lord.
To you, O Lord.
You sacrificed. Your life for me. Give you praise.
I give you praise.
I will rejoice.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I tell you what, God is worthy to be praised. I give you praise. Why? He's worthy to be praised. No matter what you're going through, no matter what it looks like or what it feels like, through my trials, I personally can speak for myself. And I'm sure that there's a lot of worldwide listeners on tonight that can say the same, that no matter what we're going through, even through our trials and tribulations, the Word of God says in this life, we will have trials and tribulations. So Jesus Christ is our prime and our perfect example, even him, himself in the flesh, he went through trials and tribulations. So we thank God that through it all, no matter what it looks like, no matter how it feels, God is worthy to be praised. So that, I thank God for that musical selection on tonight. I give you praise. So now we are ready to receive the word, and I pray that you again have your Bibles and pens and paper ready to receive the word of God on tonight, once again from Deacon Marvin Cox. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield this mic to you on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox.
Okay. Thank you, Brother Brown, and God bless you, you, and you. Once again, it is my extreme pleasure to bring forth God's word. I always say before I get started that it's an awesome responsibility to bring forth God's word, because I know that the Lord wants a clean vessel to bring forth his word. I know that he wants a willing servant to bring forth his word. The poem that I had that the Lord gave me for tonight is for a lot of people who, during the course of their lifetime, look like they were high on a mountain. And then the next thing you know, it was way down in the valley. And we asked ourselves, because things happen so quickly that sometimes we don't have an opportunity to comprehend what happened to us. Now, tonight's poem is self-explanatory. The title is, How Did the Ground Get Up Here? And this may apply to some of you, it might apply to none of you, it might apply to all of you. I was walking down the street just the other day with a clear road ahead and nothing in my way. I don't remember tripping. The road was pretty clear. I said to myself, how did the ground get up here? Could it be my ways or the people I hang around? Something happened that immediately pulled me to the ground. I took quick inventory to see if I was all right. Then I looked to see if someone had witnessed my plight. No smiling faces of the fall I had taken. That's when my confidence became really shaken. You see, I fell down when there was nothing wrong. And on the ground in my mind is where I didn't belong. But on the ground is where I landed. Not a destination for me, no place to get stranded. No pain, no hurt, didn't even have time to wince. We all fall down because of disobedience. Just like James Brown, I said, please, please, please. But it's so hard to stumble when you're on your knees. Good times nor bad times don't oftentimes last. We stumble and fall because of our past. Those wrong things we've done that we thought was all right. The drinking, the drugging, hanging out late at night. Putting our hands on somebody else's wife. The words that we use, they cut like a knife. The lying, the cheating that is in some of y'all, those are the things that will make you fall. It came in a flash. It was perfectly clear. Now I know why and how the ground got up here. I did something wrong, and I did not repent. So from a high place to a low place is where I went. I slipped and stumbled and fell. I'd rather spend 30 seconds on the ground than eternity in hell. Keep God in your life and you will have no fear. You won't have to ask yourself, how did the ground get up here? I'm going to move immediately into tonight's lesson. I got a lot of ground to carry. I mean, yeah, a lot of ground to cover. And my thought is coming from Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 24th verse, but to bring you a full circle, I will read to you from the King James Version of the Bible, and I'll read to you from the 4th down through the 24th verse. And I want you to pay attention to the 4th verse, and it reads, I'm going to read the whole thing. And it reads, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet come. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to the afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray me, each other, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Once again, that's that word, deceive. And because iniquity shall abound and love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kings of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Then ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which is be in Judea, flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in these times, in these days, excuse me. But pray ye that, excuse me, pray to stick it, and pray ye that be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. But then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor will ever be. And except those days should be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake. Those days shall be shortened. Then any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there. Believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were permissible, they shall deceive the very elect. I just read unto you from the gospel recorded by St. Matthew, the 24th chapter, from verse 4 down to verse 24. May the Lord add a blessing to reading, the doing, the hearing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. If we had a thought for tonight, that word would be, don't deceive yourself. And our thought is coming out of that 24th verse of that 24th chapter. And this is the Lord talking to us, and he's telling us that if it were permissible, that these deceivers would even try to fool the chosen elect. And I need to elaborate on that and talk about deceit. Our topic tonight is basically on deceit and how people will deceive. Say many will come in that day, and they will perform signs, and they will perform wonders, and they will trick our minds, and they will manipulate our heart. But God's word say that we cannot trust our heart, and they will jangle our flesh, and they will do things that we will feel that they are the second coming of Messiah. But the Lord is telling each and every last one of us that if it were permissible. And if you notice, sometimes we get so carried away that we overlook a lot of things. They say they would fool the chosen elect if it were permissible. So I want to dwell on a few of us, or a few of those that are not the chosen elect. A few of us who have not come to that understanding of serving the truth and the living God. Because there are some people that can see the okey-doke, the manipulation of that demon from a long distance away. There are some of us who have discerning a spirit who would be able to ascertain whether an individual is to our good or to our hurt, or as Brother Brown's theme is, we'll find out if somebody, an asset to us through our association with them, or are they a liability? Are they trying to set us up for something? So, as I was saying, we will sometimes look at things and we say, well, why do so many church people, why do so many people that attend the house of prayer almost on a daily basis, they lose their houses, they lose their cars, they lose so many different things. If we were to go down to the local casino, it's a lot of people deceive themselves, feeling that they're one jackpot arm, one slot machine arm away from not having no worries in the world. Now, if you ask me, that is deceit. There are a lot of people who have left away from their loved ones, feeling that they're going to a much better situation. But see, we got to, as I said, we got to talk about deceit. And see, deceit, we go back to the Garden of Eden, deceit is so subtle. Deceit is so inconspicuous. Deceit will play with the truth. Deceit will mislead you. It will misguide you. It will trick you. It will fool you. And it will scam you. What reason for? For its own benefit. But the Lord is telling those chosen elect, and see, those chosen elect, they have obligation to those who have not reached that status in God. They have an obligation to tell those who have not reached that status about these things. Because God's word let us know, it says, watchmen, what of the night? Did you warn my people of the danger to come? And see, deceit is something that we don't at that particular time have any knowledge that we've been deceived. A young man may meet a young lady, or older man meet an older lady or whatever, and deceit is no more than just a lie. I'm going to have to get down to the nuts and bolts about it. And the only one that is the truth, and that's the Lord. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So when we hear these things from people, it's best, like they're doing in Washington, D.C. right now, it's best for us to launch an investigation. God's word tells us to study to show yourself approved. So I don't want you to take my word for it. I don't want you to lean into your own understanding. I want you to study and see what it is that God is saying unto you. And as I was saying, deceit is something that we have no knowledge that we are being deceived until we actually have been deceived. But people will twist the truth. And because of our friendship and the commonality of activities that a lot of us enjoy doing, sometimes we trick and we fool ourselves into believing that something is not exactly as it is. But the Lord is telling us, don't. If it was permissible, excuse me, they would even choose to fool the chosen elect. So these are people that are manipulating. These are people that is going forth to bring things to their own benefit. And deceit comes from many, many things. It comes from lack of belief, because some of us deceive ourselves. And see, I'm not talking about letting any man deceive you, because Paul, even Paul, Brother Paul, a fine letter writer in the Bible, he told Satan, he said that, and I use the term lightly, that gentleman with that silver tongue, he said, you know what? Or it might not have been Satan, I'm just paraphrasing here, but he told someone, he said, you know what? You almost had me persuaded. And how do we persuade someone? We put ourselves in a position and we pray upon their lust. We pray upon their desires. We pray upon their aspirations. We pray upon their flesh. We pray upon all of those things that we know that they enjoy. So now that we know that when man deceives you, he's not going to broadcast it. But a lot of times an alarm bell, which I'll call your spirit man, will go off. You say something is not right about this situation. And then later on we find out that something was not right about this situation. We always refer back to God, or we should refer back to God, because God is not going to let right go before wrong. So we listen to that spirit man, that alarm will go off, and something, or the Lord would tell us, this is not as it should be. So we're going to get to the part about self-deception, okay? And the Lord told us, don't let no man, but because most of us or some of us is not the chosen elect, then we become susceptible to the whims, or if you read the Bible, or the wiles of the devil, because the craftiness, the subtleness, the smoothness, all of these things can persuade us to believe and to start embracing a lie. And the reason I'm stressing on it so strongly this evening, don't deceive yourself, don't fool yourself. And I'm talking about the things that we have prior knowledge of. Those things that we know are wrong. Now we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of it. Those things that God told us not to do. Those things that the preacher warned us not to do. Those things that our parents warned us not to do. These are the things that become deceptive to us. These are the things that lead to self-deception. Now, my neighbor's wife is winking at me, and every now and then I might wink back. And so, in the process of all this winking going on, this flirtatious behavior, and this is not truly happening, but I'm just using myself as an example. But this flirtatious behavior, it escalates into more and more and more, and she's a willing person. And so one day she approaches me, or that individual is approached, and say, well, you know, we need to get together. So that's alarm bell number one. And the individual say, well, hey, you know that I'm married. You know that I got 6 kids. You know that I'm a deacon. You know that I'm a preacher. You know I hold a high position in public office or in the hospital or whatever. And the response from that individual is, well, what your wife don't know will not hurt her. What your kids don't know will not hurt them. But I got news for you. Those things that other people or we try to keep concealed, they will come to the light, because men are creatures of darkness and they do things in the dark. So that's deceit number one. Deceit number two is feeling that I can go against God and not give an accounting for it. That's deceit number two. So these are things that I have full knowledge of. So say a woman can meet a man, and she's 39, but she looks like she's 29. And she tell him, well, I'm 29 years old. And so in his mind, he accept that, but it's a lie. It's deceit. So a lot of times, as I say, people can and they will deceive you. And God, the Lord, is talking about, let no man deceive you. And I want to put a specification on this right here when it comes down to my word. when it comes down to my word, because there have been a lot of people. If we look at, go through the Bible, we see that Samson allowed himself to be deceived. You know, Delilah kept constantly putting that, whatever she was putting on him, seducing him, and so forth and on. And eventually, he fought hard against it, but he knew that he was not supposed to give up the secret of his strength. And once he gave up the secret of his strength, we know what happens there. Job's wife, she was deceptive. Why? Because in times of prosperity, I could just hear her now telling Job, ain't God good? Ain't God good? We got an awesome God. God is God that really set us up. But the first sign of trouble, first thing she told that brother was, you know, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You just ought to curse your God and die. But see, he recognized her for who she was or who it was. He said to his wife at the time, you don't speak as my wife. You speak as a foolish woman. And see, a foolish individual is a person that does not recognize or does not patronize the truth, that pursue the lust of their own flesh, that will break away from something to follow and to seek their own pleasure. There's so many different examples in the Bible where we can find or see an individual knew that they was going against God. But see, when you deceive yourself, you're heading for trouble. You deceive yourself, there are consequences to be had. And another way that people begin to deceive themselves, and that's they begin to, as Eve questioned or Adam questioned, or they twisted around after their subtle individual in the garden twisted God's word around. But see, they didn't know the truth. But see, it wouldn't be so bad as she had done it, because she was not the head. But when she convinced, when she come to him and told him, Adam, say, what says or what is said is not so. So when you stop believing and when you stop trusting, because we have to make sacrifices on a daily basis. When people promise us things and they mislead us and they misguide us and they give us a promise of fame and fortune and the relief from the pain or the frustration of life, and they come up with what they consider a remedy. But God told us, he said, my daughter, my son, you just ought to wait. Be patient. But see, some of our patience is shorter than frog hair. We don't want to wait for anything. We in a microwave society. And another thing that where we self-deceive ourselves is that we begin to mix truth with lies, and that's a toxic mixture. As any lawyer, you could just look to your nation's capital right now and look at all the different loopholes that they're finding, partial truth and lies, and they're mixing it up, and it's really a toxic combination. And by this toxic combination, we are misleading and we are deceiving ourselves. Another way we are deceiving ourselves is through our dreams and our visions. So we want an interpretation. There's only a few. I think Joseph was an interpreter of dreams. So we go to the tea room, or we go to one of those places where we go see Miss Cleo. We'll go see or call the psychic hotline a few years ago when that was really popular. A lot of those psychics, they made a lot of money because they were allowing themselves to be deceived. And why were they allowing themselves to believe? Because that individual. If I tell you that today that I'm a paper boy, and then 2 weeks from now, you tell me, you're a paper boy, aren't you? Then I'm going to take that, wow, you really knows what's going on. And see, a lot of times people will become the coordinator of their own doing, undoing. Why? Because they have provided Satan with the necessary information that he needs in order to undo us. How many times have a neighbor told another neighbor, well, the wife and I are going to take a vacation. We're going to Europe for 2 weeks. I need you to keep an eye out on the house. But during those 2 weeks, ironically, the house get broken too. So sometimes we trust our information with the wrong people, and we become a victim of our own undoing. So visions, lies, and a new truth, because we will make the truth. Sometimes we will minimize the truth. And by us minimizing the truth, it does not give us that proper opportunity to think about the consequences of what's going on in our life. Don't give us that opportunity to self-check ourselves. Don't give us that opportunity to say, this is going against God. And one of the biggest things that we do is that we say to ourselves that sin is no big deal. But I'm here to tell you this evening that sin is a big deal. We go here to, or there's no consequences for the wrong that we do against God, because we wouldn't instantaneously struck by lightning when we did something wrong. Believe it or not, when we come before the judgment seat of God, we have to give an accounting for the things, the deeds done in this body. Then we'll see that, no joke, we'll see that God kept us alive even though he could have wiped us off of the face of the earth, because he knew there was other of his children that loved us and that depended upon us. So if you look at the Ten Commandments, when it says, thou shalt not. We minimize and we make it saying that sin is no big deal. Another reason, another thing that we deceive ourselves is that we begin to disbelieve what it is that God is telling us, what that preacher is telling us. And we go out there and we pursue the lust of our flesh. If you go to Luke and you look up the prodigal son, you will find out that young boy, he went out there, he deceived himself into believing that those people that he associated with really were his friends. He believed that all of those people loved him. But he found out later on, through his own deception, he had it, as they would say, he had it made in the shade. But see, sometimes you have to leave away from your father's house. Sometimes you have to fall on hard times. Sometimes you have to be turned down and rebuked, and sometimes you even have to face humiliation. Why? Because if it were permissible, they would even fool the chosen elect. So I'm speaking of those things that we have prior knowledge of, those things that we know is going against God, those things that we know will find us in disfavor with God. Don't deceive yourself. Don't fool yourself. Don't allow yourself, especially when you know that something is going against God. Because there, and I'm more than sure, to those of us who have a cell phone, they even got it set up now where you get a call and it says even before you answer the phone, scam likely. Don't answer this phone. Getting it from microwave. And most of the time they say if it's too good to be true, it probably is. But see, we're talking about God's goodness here. God's goodness is not, to me, too good to be true. Don't be misled. Don't mislead yourself because you are pursuing the lust of your flesh. Let God's word rule and govern you. Let it be your road map to life. And see, one thing I like about God's word, whatever personality that you have before you convert over to God, God doesn't take that away, but he will enhance that personality to draw all men into him through you. I mean, if you're silly, he ain't going to take that silliness away. If you're a leader, he's not going to take your leadership away. If you're an organizer, he's not going to take your organizational skill away from you. He's going to allow you to use that for his glory. But remember what the Lord said in Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 24th verse. I'll read that to you again, and I'll be closing shortly. And it reads, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were permissible, they shall deceive the very elect." So I'm just saying there's so many scam artists out there who will scam you and you really don't know that you're being scammed. But once again, those things that you have knowledge of, those things that you know are against God, don't go for it, because it's a price that you'll pay, and I'm more than sure that we don't want to pay it. So I thank you for the privilege of your time. Thank you for the opportunity for me to come into your home tonight or wherever you may be listening and speak a word of truth with you. I thank you for the patience that you have shown with me, shown to me over the last few months. I thank you for everything, and I especially thank God for you. May God bless you and may ever keep you. I now turn you over back over into the very capable hands of Brother Brown. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for the word on tonight. We thank God for the word on tonight regarding the message, you know, because so many are being deceived today. So many Christians that are seasoned, even seasoned saints that's been walking with the Lord a long time, even some of them are being deceived, and they know the word, because like the Deacon Cox just said, the enemy, he's still crafty, he's still deceiving the men and women and the children of God even today. So we have to stay rooted in God's word, so we don't get deceived by the enemy, because he have no shame. Just like he had no shame back in the days of Jesus, in the days of Noah, he still have no shame now. He have not changed. He is even, I think, even more craftier now today than ever before. So it is so easy to be deceived by the enemy. The enemy uses people just like the Lord uses people. The enemy, Satan, he uses people too. So I thank God that no matter what the enemy does, we thank God that we have the victory, and all power in heaven and earth is in the hands of God, in the hands of Jesus Christ. So we thank God for that word on tonight. I pray that you have been blessed by the word. I pray that you were blessed by the inspiration of poem, and also for the spiritual food for thought on tonight, that someone has been blessed by it on tonight. So now we're going to get ready to close out in prayer. I'm asking all listeners, if you will please pray with me. Once again, I thank you, the listeners, for faithfully tuning in each Thursday night and Saturday night. And thank God for your prayers. Thank God that this worldwide listening platform is growing, again, beyond my wildest dreams and imaginations. And guess what? The best is still yet to come. And I want you, current listeners, to continue to listen in so that you can be a part of the blessings of what God is doing through this worldwide platform as he did continue to grow it for his glory. So I'm asking our listeners, if you please pray with me as we close out for tonight. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, once again, we come to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you again for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us, because we know that we are not worthy of them. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can be redeemed back to you because of the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, that was shed on the cross for the remission of our sins, because the word says that we all have sinned and come short of your glory. So I ask that you would start first off with me. Again, forgive me of all of my sins and transgressions, my entire family. May be faithful doer of your word all over the land. You know who we are and where we are. And I thank you that you're not like man. You search the heart. Man looks at the outer appearance, but you search every heart. So we thank you again for who you are. We bless your name on tonight because you're worthy to be praised. We thank you for every trial, every test that comes our way, and even every enemy that come our way, Heavenly Father, to make us stronger in you. So we pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless us, that we continue to stand on our most holy faith in you, our hope and trust in you, because you are our hope, you are our everything. So we thank you, Heavenly Father, that and with you, there's nothing too hard or impossible for you to do. We know that we can do all things through Christ Jesus, your Son, who strengthens us. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. So we pray now, Lord, that you will continue to move by your Spirit, and every door that's going to be open in your Son, Jesus' name, on tomorrow. Move by your Spirit, Heavenly Father. Anoint each vessel right now that's going to stand on your word, that's going to declare your word on tomorrow, that's going to deliver your word with power on tomorrow, that through your word, some soul will be saved, backslider will come back to the fold, that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. So we pray now, Lord, that you will continue to have your way in each vessel, each doer of your word all over the land. Continue to use us individually, then as a corporate body of believers for your glory. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. And all the believers said, amen. Well, that's the program for tonight. I pray that you were blessed by it. Again, Deacon Marvin Cox, we want to thank you again for sharing with us another word from the Lord. We also want to thank you for that another inspirational poem that has been a blessing to many, I'm sure, on tonight. So on tonight, we're going to close out with this song. The next time, continue to know that I love you, listeners. Know that God loves you even more. So I ask that you will continue to pray for me, my family, and as I continue to pray for you and your family, continue to pray for this worldwide ministry and platform, that God will continue to bless it as you continue to listen, that you will continue to share the good news about this ministry so that others can tune in and be blessed by it as well, that God will be glorified through it all. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Until the next time.